Blog Talk Radio.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhunt speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhunt speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhunt the Barbarian.
Welcome to the Bachelor's Den, America. We're here. It's the first Tuesday of the new year, 2024, January the 2nd. Wow. We made it through 2023 all intact. The Bachelor Kingdom is ready to roar again this coming year. Well, we welcome you all to the show tonight. We think Blog Talk is back. Hot damn, they can now broadcast. We had some issues latter part of December where they had a lot of, it seems like, electronic harassment or they were hacked, but they seem to be rolling now pretty well. So we'll just continue with the show and the presentation. And this is epic episode 33 of the Von Wehhunt Show, The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. A start date of January 2nd, 2024 AD. We've got a lot of new listeners out there in Radio Land. We thank you all for being here. Welcome again to the Bachelor's Den and the Lava Lounge. How's everyone's Christmas and New Year's? Hope everybody had a great time, as I did. But there was that new Chinese virus going around. A lot of people are getting sick. But your host is made of nails. And I have a cast iron stomach, a German stomach. Takes a lot to get me down. So I'm feeling great, feeling, as they say down south or in Texas, I've got a lot of vim, vigor, and vitality left in me, Mr. and Mrs. America. Well, this is our fun show of the month. We're pretty serious most of the month, but this is the one show where we kick it back a few notches. If you've been trying to get to our Thursday show, you can never get in. I know a lot of you get impatient and drop off the line. This is a good show to chime in on. But keep your conversation light. This is not a big political show. It's more of a social political show. We'll talk about, you know, trends in American society, the Bachelor King, toxic dating environment, et cetera. And I always say onwards to the Bachelor Empire, and may God save the Bachelor King. Yes, it's that time again, and we're so glad everyone's here. Hopefully you've been having some adult beverages over the holidays. Maybe some of you have surfaced, so to speak, and you're starting to sober up into the new year. Well, this radio show is based on my hit book, published in October of 2012, entitled The Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. It's found at fine bookstores everywhere and online, coast to coast. And I know that you will enjoy it immensely. So now we're going to get into some interesting things in our course curriculum as we go through the book and the micro chapters. There's a lot to talk about tonight. So get the cufflinks ready. Wear your favorite leather loafers. Put on that vintage, cool smoking jacket. Light up your cigar or pipe. Keep the beer flowing and the adult beverages. The bar is open here in the studio. So gentlemen, pirates, and rat pack bastards worldwide, we We'll delve into the Bachelor universe and the galactic cosmos with wild abandon. We'll have fun doing it. We're always on the lookout for the lovely ladies out there in Bachelor Land. And that's always a good thing. Kind of reminds me of that movie back in the day, The American Gigolo. Remember that? Back in the day with Richard Gere. Unbelievable. Well, we've got to get you all rounded up here and lined up as the new fraternity pledges of the show. We cannot start the show or continue onwards until we formally induct you into the radio fraternity, the Bachelor's Den. So raise your right hand and repeat after me.
I state your name.
I state your name.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
Do hereby pledge allegiance to the frat.
With liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen.
Sergeant at Arms. Do your duty.
Now on your Delta Tau Chi name is Weasel. Now on your name is Mothball. Kroger, your Delta Tau Chi name is Pinto.
Why Pinto?
Why not?
What's my Delta Tau Chi name?
Dorfman, you've given this a lot of thought. From now on, your name is Flounder.
We now consecrate the bond of obedience. Assume the position.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Well, this is the Animal House, the radio fraternity on air. I got my smoking jacket on tonight, crushed red velvet, my slippers, have a drink, relax, maybe even get a smoke, huh? Our tracks are trendy. We got the best promos in town. We get a few callers. We'll bring them in during the show after the monologue. Get down with the lounge sound in the underground. Well, back in the day, it sounded a little bit like this.
You know who I am. I know who you are. I know what you're thinking. You know what I'm thinking. You want to be here. You want to be with me?
His name is Julian Kay.
So what do you expect?
His business is pleasure.
Hello, Judy. You're a very sexy lady. Very good-looking woman. You don't like me. I can tell. We have a lot of fun.
He is the American Gigolo.
Hello, girls.
How about you? How do you get pleasure?
Police think you're involved in a murder in Palm Springs a week ago.
I'm being framed by somebody. I don't know.
You've been identified, Junior.
I am in deep trouble.
I think you're guilty of sin.
Richard Gere, Lauren Hutton, American Gigolo.
God, I love that. Best promo ever in the business.
I would like to introduce you to the lifestyle.
The ladies. The legend. The lifestyle.
Now, the most famous bachelor in the galaxy must make the toughest decision of his life. The Bachelor Party.
When you hit LAX, you know who to call.
When your lifestyle's a fantasy, how do you deal with reality? It's a wonderful lifestyle.
That's right. It is a wonderful lifestyle. Marriage is not cut out for everybody. The problem with marriage is it's a one-size-fits-all type of template that, in my view, works best for barely half of the adult population. And I think one half of the half is looking to get out of their current marriage. So really it brings it down to a quarter. About a quarter, in my view, of adults really thrive in a marriage, a quarter to one-third. And really the two-thirds, it doesn't really fit them. It doesn't really fit their lifestyle, what they want to do, what they want to get out of life. The one thing that you're going to have to figure out as a bachelor is sometimes, and you can be lonely, by the way, in a marriage, for sure. But the loneliness thing will creep in, and that's why I say as a bachelor, you've got to have a wide circle of friends, a wide circle of socialization. You want some close friends. You want some acquaintances. If you move to a new town or if you're in town for 20 years, doesn't matter. You need some dining buddies. You know, different friends for different venues. Join some social clubs. Now, there is meetup.com that's out there and other things like that. Meet in, meet up. Meet everywhere. There's all kinds. They do lots of hiking events. You know, New Year's Eve parties, Halloween parties, house parties. You got to get yourself out there and meet some people. You can't be serious 24/7. Got to let loose once in a while. Got to cut a rug. And it's good for you. It's good for the soul. We all get wrapped up in our little worlds, right? And you get tightly wound up. And everything you're doing seems so important to the world crisis at hand, right? Well, you got to kick back once in a while. Take it down a notch or two. Don't take yourself that seriously. Have a drink or two. Meet some ladies. Enjoy yourself. Or meet some guy friends. Go out for steaks and chops and a Rat Pack or an Italiano restaurant. See a good show with your pals. Or watch the Super Bowl coming up. By the way, it's going to be in Las Vegas this year. Beach Super Bowl parties. Oh, my God. The beer, the alcohol, the good times, the party favors. Can you imagine Las Vegas? Super Bowl parties galore. The casinos are going to be packed. That town is going to be a madhouse for about a week or two. It's going to pump in, I heard, $1 billion of cash into Las Vegas. That town's a cash factory. Unbelievable. For you, I'd figure out a way to get a piece of the action. Wet your beak a little bit. Is there a way to make some money off the Super Bowl? I'm going to live there. That's what I'd be thinking about, maybe. But you want to have a good time. In this new year, it's new beginnings. It's a new dawn, new era. That's how I look at a new year. It's a completely blank canvas. I am the author of my book. I am the author of my own life. I am the author of my destiny and the ultimate writer of my fate. And you are too. Whether you know it or not, you're writing your story every day. Like writing my book, you're writing your story, whether consciously or subconsciously. You're doing it. You're going through the motions. You're going to work. You're punching the clock. Or you're with your girlfriend or wife or whatever, or soon to be wife. Maybe you're not sure about the direction you're going in life, and that's when a man needs to do some introspection. You need to do some reflection. ask yourself some questions, do some hard thinking. It's not all about, you know, taking or me. You got to be, sometimes you got to reflect and observe, watch, and be in tune with the vibes in your surrounding, in your environment. It's very good to sometimes kick back in January after a big, big holiday season. But boy, it went by fast, didn't it? I know Cedar got through Labor Day and Halloween, and boom, we're all the way to, now we're past Christmas, we're past New Year's. Tomorrow's already January the 3rd. So I leave my decorations up till the 15th of January. I don't care what they say. And I'm about that hardcore one quarter of Americans. I want the holidays to be extended as long as possible. We keep that good cheer flowing. So decorate your home as a bachelor. Make it fun. Have some traditions with your friends and your guy friends and your gal pals and girlfriends around town. And I do say that plural because it's hard today to find one girl that you can do anything with. You got a girl for this and a girl for that. Some girls are good for dinner dates. Some girls are just sex partners, to be blunt. Some girls, you know, it's like James Bond. You're James Bond, and in every movie, doesn't James Bond meet at least four or five beauties? They wink and nod at him. Some try to, you know, stab him in the back, but he catches them in the act, and they try to be duplicitous, but he's more clever than they are. Now, with the new James Bond movie being made right now, I heard, you'd be like James Bond in the new year. Be a man of adventure. Be a man of travel. Think about the expat lifestyle. Buy my book and read it. It's a thick book, but easy to read. And be like James Bond, shaking not stirred. Be a man of action. Be the original action figure you always knew that you could be. And that's the way to go through life. Because James Bond is always going from place to place, country to country, always with a new, beautiful woman in his arms, having fun, enjoying life. Now, if you want to go in the suburbs and raise three or four kids, be my guest. There's women that want to settle down. That's good, too. Most of you guys, whether you know it or not, are going to be in the suburbs with 2.2 kids. You just don't know it yet. She's going to sweep you off your feet, bat her eyelashes at you, and you're going to fall for her. And that's normal, and that's okay. That is your destiny in life. Nothing wrong with being a family man, but it's not for everybody. And before you become a family man, the pretense of my book is that you're all bachelors for more adult years than you are a married man. That's just the facts of the matter. Now, in our past episodes, we talked about the chocolate martini girl, the girl that demands chocolate martinis before you date her, the Morton Steakhouse girl, the girl that demands these $200-$300 dinners that you can barely afford before she'll take you seriously. Women are looking at your pocketbook, gents, like never before. I've always said that women don't, yeah, they like a six-pack of abs. I see you guys at the gym for 10, 12 hours, but you're broke. A lot of you are at the gym 10 hours a day because you're broke. You're not working. Or if you have money, you're going to live off the fumes as long as possible. I get it. The free time is nice. But let me tell you, the women really don't care about your six-pack abs. They want a guy that's attractive, don't get me wrong, but what they really care about is your finances. How much money do you have, and how much money can you spend on them? For dates, dinners, gifts, travel, which is through the roof. My God, hotel rooms have tripled. Gas has tripled. 10 years ago, you could get a decent hotel room for $50, $60. that today will barely get you a Roach Motel. Seriously. I know, because I used to travel around the country. That's why I stopped doing it with my old consulting gig, because I was saying to myself, this is getting very expensive. But it's true. Travel's crazy. You want to decorate your bachelor pad. You want to make it great. You want to make it look really cool. And that's how you're going to bring in the ladies and wine and dine them. Enjoy their company. But my best advice, gents, is don't take them too seriously. By the way, that song is called Bachelor Pad by Plastic Fantastic Machine. What a name for a band. Well, does he really love you, Jets, or is she a fraud just after your estate, huh? And who is your soulmate, by the way? Can it be found in this world we call planet Earth in the cosmos, young bachelor? Or, as they always say, are you saving yourself for marriage? Don't do that. Women today are children. They want what they want when they want it. And most men will give it to them. Most of the men will never admit it, but they're bitch boys. You know, don't get in this thing either where you're buying girls drinks, bars. Only cucks do that. Had a girl one time. She said, hey, why don't you buy these girls some drinks? And I go, why don't you buy them some drinks? I don't find them very attractive. Well, I can't believe you said that. Believe it, honey. I'll make a believer out of you real fast. You buy him a damn drink. I'm paying my bills. And by the way, buying girls drinks used to work. That's why it's ingrained in so many guys' psyche. Back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, maybe early 2000s, a girl would maybe walk up to you. At least you gave me a chance to put your best lines on her, right? Talk to her a little bit. broke the ice, pun intended. And if she likes you, she'd stick around for the second drink. Now she's getting a little more tipsy. You're telling her some good jokes. Now you're getting into some good, funny, dirty jokes. Maybe some sexual innuendo. She's digging it even more. Now she's thinking, wow, what's this guy like in bed? I want to take him home to meet mom and dad. Just kidding. You get the idea. My point is, that's how it used to work. Now the women, they drink like fish. Don't buy them drinks. Only cucks do that. Weak men. The women today will say, thanks a lot for the drink. Bye. Take off, and she'll say, enjoy your night. While she walks away with her girlfriends giggling and cackling about how stupid you are. And the bartender looks at you and says, hey, you owe us $45. What? You owe us $45 or $50, and you got to tip the guy on top of that. And don't give him a dollar. He's going to want at least $10, $15, $20 tip. So you walk out there with, say, $60. You spent $60 in drinks. You're making $20 an hour, maybe, or $18 an hour. You feel like a big man, don't you? Well, you just spent $60, went down the drain. You didn't even get a phone number. The girl laughed at you and walked away. Now, some of you guys have got to have that happen to you 100 times before you realize it's a dismal failure. It does not work anymore, rarely. I told the girl this, if I'm banging a girl, then I'll buy her a drink and dinner. That's my answer. If I'm banging her, if I'm dating her, if we're going out, if we're an item, then I'll buy her drinks. No problem. Because at least I know I'm getting something in return. And I know she's coming home with me tonight. And I know she's with me. And that is okay. You know, I'm a man about town. Buy her some drinks. Absolutely. You got to have enough money coming in to pay for those streets. They're no longer cheap either. I live in the Phoenix, Scottsdale area. It's pretty same if you're in Chicago, New York, Dallas, Fort Worth, L.A. But I can tell you, a glass of wine, when I first got to town out here, was about $8-$10 a glass. It's now $16 per glass in most bars. And the guy will expect you to give him a 20. And he wants to keep the change, all $4. If you say, can I have some change back, and you want to give him two, they give you that evil, dirty look. He'll grudgingly put four ones in your little hand and wait for the tip. You know, seems to be the way it is. So, and these women drink these exotic drinks, Cosmos, chocolate martinis, $25-$30 a pop. And they can drink them like water, I'm telling you. About $25 plus tip. Not cheap. At least $22-$23. My point is, you got to make a lot of money. So don't buy women drinks unless you're dating them, guys. If she isn't on your arm, you're just wasting your money. You're wasting your time. Now, if it's a dollar beer night, that's different. Get her loaded up on dollar beers. We can find a dive bar. They're still out here. Maybe a bar with a pool table or two. That's different. Pitchers of beer for $10 or something. Yeah, that's different. Get her loaded up. But I'm just talking your average bar, your normal, you know, your club drinks are very expensive. And a lot of you guys can't afford it. And don't play the rich man's game. I know rich guys here in town, they'll blow money on drinks, and they don't care to them. It's nothing. But to you or me, if you're making a lot less money, it's a very big deal. Hits your wallet a lot harder. If you're a rich guy, you can blow $100 every second. You don't care. You're making thousands every day. What's $100 in drinks to you? Nothing. It's butkus, right? So keep that in mind, too. You know, Mr. American Bachelor wants to wango tango with the ladies. They're out there. But be smart. I always say the social media is out there. Meet the girls at a Starbucks coffee shop. I call it the $10 date. Don't even spend 30 or 40, 10 bucks. I'll tell you what you do. You say, I'll meet you at a Starbucks, public place. If she balks at that, then fuck her. She's a bitch. You don't want to hang out with her. Meet her for coffee. She can get a nice tea there, a lemonade, water, whatever. Just meet her at a Starbucks or a little place like that. It's low-key, and, you know, you get a coffee there for $5, okay? So $10 you're in, no tip required. Sit in a little booth, get to know her. First of all, that right there, you're only out $10, the coffee for you and her, or an iced tea, and you can size her up real fast. Decide if you want to take it further. Is she attracted to you? Now you see her in the sunlight. She no longer, you know, people look different when they're in the sun, let me tell you, or in a lit room like that. And that way, just meet her for an hour, see if you like her. Some women, you're going to definitely want to take them home after that. Some women, you're going to go, man, this was a complete disaster. But I'm the king of the coffee date. Just do a little coffee date and see how it goes. See if you're compatible. For God, you don't even know. And don't assume you know. You don't know until you meet her in the flesh. Until you meet her, you do not know. So do it like that. Well, guys, time to start the show with our great theme song, The Ambushers, from the 1967 Matt Helm classic. And here it is. That with Dean Martin, he sounds like this back in the promo days, and I wish he was still with us, but he's up there in Rat Pack Heaven with all the rest.
This is Dean Martin, alias Matt Helm, asking you to help me stamp out spies, or at least muss them up a little. In our new picture, The Ambushers, I got my hands full with Matahara's like Santa Burger.
Skull.
Sure, Skull's got ice in it.
Janice Rule. And those ever-loving sleigh girls.
Don't shoot.
They get you when you're high. They get you when you're low. They get you when you're standing still, or else when you're on the go. They get you in a blink. The edge or on the brink. But bam, wham, bam.
It's too much for one Matt Helm, so how about pitching in a little, huh? There's enough action for everybody, so Bring your friends and we'll make them honorary ambushers. They're the ambushers.
They're the ambushers.
Love that. Well, I want to get to an article here, and you can call the show at 563-999-3437 if you want to chime in. There's a good article that came out that we're going to talk about tonight that I wanted to bring up to your attention, and it's really cool, and there's a lot that can be said about it, let me tell you. It's entitled, "As Feminism and Hoflation Destroy Dating in the West." Now, get this. It's a problem in the Western world that is rarely discussed in the media beyond puff piece articles and glancing polls that avoid connecting the dots. It's the precipitous decline of dating, committed relationships, and marriage, along with a flat line in population in the past couple of decades in the United States. It's treated as a novelty issue rather than the threat to the stability of civilization that it actually is. History shows us time and time again that without the traditional family structure, where bachelors become fathers eventually, numerous ugly societal consequences always follow. But one could argue, though, that the situation is far worse than that. We may be heading into a future where families become a novelty and only for the rich. Think about it. It takes a lot of money to raise kids today. You know, the average kid will cost you about $300,000 now from birth to age 18, and if they go to college, add another $100,000 or so, $200,000. I'd say $400,000 to $500,000 to raise a kid through college, about $500,000. And it's getting to be more and more the way where only the rich can afford the big families, right? But if you're a poor guy, you got to live where the housing's cheap. You can buy a big house if you want a family. And now it's going to be the Midwest and the South, or the Texarkana area, those kind of states like Missouri, Iowa, Oklahoma, Arkansas, Alabama, parts of Texas, et cetera. Well, the root cause is feminism and the hyper-inflated delusions of so-called progressive women. Now, we all met these chicks before. They have what I call outrageous entitlement complex. In other words, they expect they're an ugly chick probably to begin with. She's probably a 4 or 5 average. Yet she expects a Brad Pitt guy with, you know, washboard, six-pack abs, and a bank account worth $100 million. And they're all hoping that that Brad Pitt guy on social media that they can get, and they think they can get him. That's how delusional these women are. Well, get this. More than 50% of American women now are childless by age 30. That's unheard of in America. By age 35, fertility for women, whether they like it or not, it's the biological clock. It's God's way. Fertility goes into a steep decline, with women having a 15% chance only of becoming pregnant and a less than 5% chance of motherhood at age 40, meaning that the best window of opportunity for women to find a compatible partner and build a family is in their 20s. And I would say 18 to 30, ladies, you got a 12-year window. Make it count. That's when you've got all of your eggs. That's when you're fertile. And think about it. God made man and woman that way. When you're young with the hormones raging, as they are supposed to be raging, that's how he designed it. That's when the women get pregnant. That's when the men get that infamous call. Well, you kind of grow up together. And then, in other words, while you're a younger guy and you can bend and run the 50-yard dash and you can lift, that's when you're running after kids. Think about it. And you need to have that energy to make money, bring it home, take care of your family if you want that, okay? And the women need to be young to produce the children, cook clean, and do all those traditional things that they have shirked in recent years. Well, feminists argue that this is the time in a woman's life when they should be building a career, they'll say, and having fun. Family life, they say, is an artificial prison. The feminists say it's created by the patriarchy in order to oppress the fairer female sex, right? Then you have corporate media and Hollywood entertainment and movies. They often reinforce this narrative, commercials too. And they encourage women to have unrealistic life goals. That's a fancy phrase for saying they make women feel that they have pie-in-the-sky mentalities. Look, if you're an average-looking woman, you're never going to get a Brad Pitt. You're never going to get a Hollywood actor. You're never going to get a rock star. You got to look yourself in the mirror, take stock of yourself, and lower, in some cases, women have to drastically lower their expectations of society, of life, of men. Because some women, they are off the frickin' charts. The propaganda, we talk about these same issues also. It kind of segued into our Thursday show from time to time. Many scholars call this the female happiness paradox. Surveys show that increased power and job access for women and responsibility in society for them since the 1970s has led to a diametrically opposed decline in overall happiness for those same women. Correlation suggests the exact opposite of what feminism originally promised them. That ideology of feminism, in other words, not having kids, not dating, going into corporate America, wearing her man's suit with her shoulder pads, has been nothing but a dismal failure for women. Makes them very unhappy and a net negative for their entire life. Because one thing about a man can have babies at 18, 16, or 60 years of age, just the way God made us to spread our seed. With women, totally different story. You got a window of opportunity. You're a product on a shelf. And when her shelf life expires, nobody wants her. Just be blunt. Ladies, if you're listening, you know what I mean. If you're 45 or 50, 57 maybe, 65, 70. By then, society expects you to be married, settled down. You're no longer chasing after the bachelor in America. You got to settle for what you can get. You don't like it. I get it. But you got to settle for what you can get and get what you can get. You know, literally. Though some will argue that a general decline in economic conditions is the real cause. Surveys show again that women have suffered a far more pronounced drop in happiness compared to the American bachelor, who is the happiest of all, even over married men, believe it or not. Meaning men were already acclimated to the struggles of the workday, you know, and going into an office or a job site, a construction site. We know what it's like, and we know our role as provider and protector. Women were happy until they were taught by the feminazis or the feminists to join men in the trenches and shirk their traditional feminine roles and be a man in corporate America. For men, the reaction is very key here. It's been to back away from the dating scene, the toxic dating scene, and the double standards involved. We hear about passport bros, expat travel. Men are having to go overseas to get sex or girlfriends. I don't blame them. I told them for years in my book, Yes, go overseas. Travel the Caribbean. Travel Mexico. Go to Europe. Wherever you want to go. Because unless you're a lucky, and there are some guys in America that are lucky. If you're lucky here, stay here and enjoy yourself. But over 63% of men under the age of 30 are now single. That's up from 51% in 2019. It's 5 years ago. Now we're in 2024. It's went up 12%. The majority of single men who are bachelors say this is by choice, and they are seeking to avoid relationships altogether. Why, you ask? The consensus appears to be the modern Western women. And write this down, ladies. The modern Western women, you cost too much money. You cause too much trouble. In other words, you have priced yourself out of the marketplace of dating. You priced yourself out. Have you ever seen a car that guys want or something that's really cool? And you go, well, that sure is an awesome truck or awesome sports car, but it costs $300,000. And you go, well, it's pretty cool, but can't afford it, so you move on, shuffle your feet. That's how a lot of American women are to men now. Men go, well, she's pretty good looking, Bob. Can't afford her. Yeah, you're right. Well, let's go over here to this pool hall and see what's over there. They shuffle their feet because they know that woman's priced herself out of the man market. Not every man in America is making $1 million a year, ladies. Fear of failed marriage is one aspect that has the younger generation of men on edge, with family courts still largely in favor of women in divorce settlements and child custody. This is one reason why marriage rates have declined by 60% since the 1970s. And the obstacles go well beyond divorce and into a new culture of female entitlement. The word on the street is hoflation. You've all heard of it, right? The dramatic increase in costs for men today to maintain a relationship with a woman, while the quality of women continues to go down the drain. That is to say, there's an increase in female expectations versus what they bring to the table in any relationship. You know what I mean? You got to buy her extra jewelry, extra dinners, extra drinks and trinkets just to keep her happy, interested in you and your wallet, and interested at some level in the relationship, hoflation. And I don't care what any guy says. I don't care who they are or what they say. Every man pays for it. They just decide on how they want to pay for it. Think about it. I don't care if the guy takes her out to a Scottsdale or a Dallas dinner for $200-$300. And he goes home and he gets lucky that night. What's the difference in that and the guy that brings over the call girl for $100, $150? Not a whole lot of difference. The one's couched in a relationship. That's a relationship that is materially driven, much like the hooker or the call girl. In other words, women of the past used to have something to offer beyond sexual companionship. Maybe greater femininity, greater potential for motherhood. They were also less combative, you know, to men. They were less narcissistic. Today they're all on TikTok. They're getting tatted up, like getting tramp stamps all over their body. Some guys like that. And they feel they don't want to raise children or maintain a home. Now, some of those traits are attracted to some men, but they're seen as not very attractive to other men. So it should be noted that hoflation seems to be directly linked to progressive influences. And about 71% of young women in the study identify with progressive Democrat beliefs. You know those belief systems that are pie in the sky? And only 53% of men are what you call Democrat slash progressive. Now, you want to get a right-wing girl or center-right, and that's what you want, is what this article – I will just break it down for you and condense it. A majority of American women have cast off their traditional roles in exchange for modern feminist ideals, while they still expect you, the bachelors of America, they want you to have that traditional role, and they want that for men. Dating younger men complaining they're correct is now more like a job interview, with the girl scrutinizing their finances and their job title and their job as a primary topic. And then on social media, you've got these women that are not very attractive that get these simps emailing them all week long, and they get 200-300 emails or likes a week. In a month, you'll get up well over 1,000 to 2,000 simps across the nation will reach her over time. That's been proven that she will get a big head, and she will think she's Barbie the supermodel when she's really Godzilla. And you know what I mean. The dating app research shows that 80% of Western women are all chasing after the top 20% or less of men. With, guess what? It's not a six-pack abs they're after or his full head of hair from Bosley. It's not his sports car, so that's part of it. The earning potential of what a man makes, the money in his wallet, is the biggest factor. Numero uno, next to physical attractiveness. In other words, the women, you can be a slob, but if you've got a bank account of $1 million, a woman will find you sexy. And I'm telling you, women will find something sexy about any man, even if he has money. If he has no money, he can be a good-looking guy and he'll strike out. The ugly guy with the big bank account normally wins in most cases. That, great article, and it's on my Gab page, and it's very, very true. And I know a lot of you guys can relate to that. It's not about, yes, you want to work out for your health, but don't think you're going to work out, build up your body, flex your muscles, and all of them are going to go, ooh, and all over you. They all want to know what you make. Where do you live? What kind of car does he drive? Can he afford to take me out to Morton's Steakhouse, for God's sakes, and buy me chocolate martinis, Cosmos, big glasses of wine till I'm filled up? And she'll drink the whole damn winery and give you the bill. At the end, she'll say, thanks a lot, honey. Give you a little peck on the cheek and run away. Well, think about that tonight during the show. That's exactly what's going on. Get a cocktail and a drink. We'll go to calls here in a minute. But on my show, we always wear the best men's cologne, numero uno cologne.
Numero uno. Four men on a search. Each man different, living his own way, searching, discovering numero uno, the new thing in colognes for men. In all the world, there are only four basic masculine scents. Here's the best of each. Numero uno gold, numero uno green, numero uno red, numero uno silver, Four numero uno colognes. All different. All wild. Find yours with a searcher kit. A jigger of each scent. Then get a full-size bottle of the one that makes it for you.
Numero uno.
Oh, yeah, I made that in the studio. I call that, that's the future Fash Wave, based on the Ava Max song, Kings and Queens. Kind of a Europop Fash Wave there, I like. I do some mixing here in the studio and make some things up here from time to time when I have time. It's a blast to do. Well, let's get to the phones here. Let's get to the Gladiator on the Las Vegas Strip, for God's sake. Super Bowl is imminent. The parties will be fantastic. Can you imagine? Las Vegas, it's already bigger than life itself. Well, the Gladiator will tell you all about it. Here he is in all the splendor, the Gladiator. How you doing tonight, sir? Welcome to the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy.
Pleasure to be here, man. How are we doing?
Yeah, doing good. So what's your take? Now, you moved up to Vegas. What's your take on the dating scene? What have you observed? What have you noticed? How many chicks have hit on you? And what's your take on all that and more?
You know, there's two ways. There's kind of, well, two angles, right? You got your you got your local scene, which is what I visited New Year's Eve. And the local scene you know, you stay off the strip. You go a couple of blocks off the strip. There are some nice little bar clubs. I went to one, just opened up about a month ago, reopened up after many, many years, got a sushi bar inside of it. Very
nice.
Cool place, very hip. The garage doors, you know, in the nicer weather will open up to the outside bar patio. Aaron, there was a couple of like girls of two that were hanging out. I literally like, I'm telling you, they haven't heard all the good lines. Right. So I was at the bar. I wasn't drinking cause I was driving and I was just getting, like a Pellegrino seltzer can. And I noticed in the mirror this super cute, adorable young woman was behind me. And after when she came in, wasn't sure because her and a girl, the other girl seemed to like kind of tug her into the corner. I wasn't sure if they were gay or not. But I turn around, knowing that she's waiting behind me, and there was plenty of room. She could have fit in somewhere, but I moved the stool to the right, turned around, pretending I was going to walk out, but not moving too much. And then she kind of looked at me. She was a little shy, put her head down, smiled. And I just said, "My goddess, you are adorable." And she kind of looked right. She looked at me like almost to say what, and I was like, I said, "My goddess, you are adorable." And she kind of like walked up to the bar, you know, kind of put her like elbows up, looked at me, and I said, "Where did you come from?" And she said, she said, "Well, I came from like here in Vegas." So I go, "Well, where did you come from originally?" And I was waiting for her to say like my parents or something, because you know? I was going to say, "Well, you have to thank your parents for me because you're just way too pretty to look at."
Nice.
She said, "Well, you know, I've been here for, you know, a number of years." And I was like, "All right." And I turned around and I looked in the corner where her girlfriend was sitting. I said, "Is that a friend of yours? Is it your girlfriend?" And she goes, "You're pretty observant." And I was like, "Well, she looked like she was kind of pulling your arm to sit down over there." And she said, "Well, you know, I'm not too sure, like what I'm going to be, you know." And I was like, "You're not sure if you want to be with a man or a woman, right?" And she goes, "Yeah, pretty much." And I was like, "Okay, I kind of got that feeling, like visually, you know, I'm a pretty good observer of people, as you know." And she said, "Well, you know, I don't know. I really like this bar." And I go, this bar, this club's amazing. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to be back here. I'm sure you're going to be back here. Let me know how it progresses with you. And she kind of looked at me. She's like, "Yeah." I said, "Well, let me ask you, if you weren't curious about, let's say, that girl or that young woman," I said, "over there." And she was kind of in her late 20s, early 30s. I said, "You know, probably late 20s. I said, if you weren't curious about her, would I have a shot at grabbing you out for a cup of coffee?" And she said, "Yeah, I know you're the guy, but yeah, you look great." And I said, "Okay, don't ask me my age, you know?" And so that's like that local scene, right? Like, cause I already know these young women, right? And I don't go like 21, but you know, I could tell she's in her later 20s, I'm thinking 28, 29, maybe 30 tops. They haven't heard lines from a guy like me yet. Now, you go to the strip and you lay a line on a girl, you know, a woman, she's going to have, you know, every line in the book, right? Because she's here traveling from her hometown, Chicago, New York, Miami, whatever. She goes out to those expensive clubs, like on the strip, and She already knows those lines, so she's going to discount you. The place I was in, I mean, I was buying sushi there, and I was only paying, you know, $8, $9, $10 a sushi roll. So it was standard price, same price as Phoenix, right?
Perfect.
And even the drinks weren't that bad. I mean, I knew what people were paying for drinks. They're probably paying $7, $8, $9 for a drink. But if you're on the strip, you're paying $20, $25 for those drinks, right? And I just wanted to check the local area, right, the local scene. And I even went to a sushi restaurant before I went to that club, and I was only paying, you know, $7, $8, $9 for sushi, you know, that came out two pieces, same price as Phoenix. So I'm trying to find the local places that aren't ripping everybody off. And
exactly.
I'll go back to that bar, Claude. I will go back. And if I run into her again, I'm definitely going to make that play because, hey, you know, where are you at? Like, where's your decision-making process? You know, if I see her with the girl.
Right.
And I knew I had a better shot than that girl did. I mean, not for nothing. I think I'm a pretty good-looking guy even still.
Sure.
You know, and I was decked up with my black velvet, you know, jacket, my maroon shirt, you know, my Armani pants. Like, you know, I went out nice, right? That's
yeah,
I am. That's
very nice.
Or my New York City wardrobe. So,
right.
And quite honestly, I wouldn't even go to the strip to even try to meet somebody because, you know, number one, I'm not paying those prices. And number two, I couldn't, you know, and nobody can really pull. I mean, unless you're a multimillionaire and you're, you know, you're wearing Bulgari $5,000.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you could slap a woman in the face if you got that going on, and she'll be like, oh, I love
you.
Oh,
yeah.
I love you.
Exactly. And also, they went $30-$40 in some of those strip bars. I've been to them.
Yeah.
I go, what do you charge for a Cosmo at Caesars? Oh, it's $32 now. $28 at least. $30 a drink.
Yeah.
And
so,
these women are drink like fish, man.
Yeah. You know, my suggestion, even if a young bachelor is going to come visit Vegas, don't go out on the strip. You can go two blocks off the strip. Go come east.
I agree.
Don't go west. Don't go like where Palms and the Orleans are. You want to go east. You want to go, you know, east of the Wynn, east of the Venetian. Check out those numbers, you know, east of Planet Hollywood, east of MGM. You want to go into that section, and that's where you want to kind of hit the more local areas. And quite honestly, my opinion, just by knowing people here for a few months, is that if you meet a single woman that more or less lives in Vegas at one of the sidebars, side clubs off the strip, you're more apt to not only have a good time with her out, but you're more apt to have her take you back to her place, or you can take her back to your hotel. Versus women that visit Vegas, they don't come alone. They go in groups of 3, 4, 5, or 6.
That's
and if
right.
those other women, if those other, yeah, those other women don't approve of you,
no, you're sunk.
They're not letting their friend go with you.
That's right. They will sink your battleship every time. It's the friends who have more influence over her. Yes, totally agree.
That's right. But if you're,
one
of the side
clubs, every chance,
every chance. So if you're at one of the side clubs, you know, 2 or 3 blocks off, you know, and it's just two of them. Believe me, her friend would be like, no problem. You know, go ahead. You know, that's why we came out right in the first place. And you know, and I just opened up one of my balcony blinds. I mean, I'm literally 3 blocks off the strip. I'm staring at, you know, the strip, the Link, Caesars, Flamingo, Cosmo. I got the Bellagio
incredible.
In front of me. You know, the Sphere. I can see the Sphere blue right now. Big Sphere right outside my balconies. you know, that's why I was like, you know, I know it's close to go to the Strip, but it's so expensive there. And I can literally go one block up, two blocks over. I can walk, you know, to these clubs and bars and more or less see what the local scene is. And mm-hmm. and here's another thing, because I did meet a few people that were traveling from California, from Michigan for New Year's. They were at the club, and I asked, why are you here and not on this trip? And like, oh, we've been mm-hmm. coming here a few times. Like, we know the area. Mm-hmm. There was two guys and four women. And I knew that the guys weren't linked up with the women, right?
Right.
And, yeah, they were all friends or friendly. Maybe the guys wanted one of them. They were good-looking women, older. And they're mm-hmm. like, yeah, we would rather come here. And I said, then spend $50 a drink on this trip. And they were like, yeah. So even if you're a young bachelor and you're coming to Vegas, you could run into somebody who's traveling, but they're going to be at that club. You'll have a better shot at them because they're not going to be four, five, six women only hanging out. If it's a group, multi-group, male-female group, those single women in that group that aren't connected to one of those guys, you could actually mm-hmm. go back to their hotel because – you know, maybe their friends are like, well, we'd like to see you at the hotel. And if this guy's an idiot, you call our room. We'll take care of it rather than you take them mm-hmm. back to your hotel. So, yeah, those are a couple of good strategies to use. Save some money, mm-hmm. number one. Strategies for probably a better shot at getting lucky in Vegas, right? And if you end up meeting mm-hmm. a local girl and you come back to Vegas – you could have a place to hang out and a woman to date while you're in town if she hasn't hooked up with somebody, you know, long term yet. So,
right.
That, you know, there's more benefits doing that than just going on the Strip, doing the same old that everybody else has, and have the same story about Vegas that everybody else has. Oh, I went out, had a good time, didn't get laid, didn't get lucky, but, you know, it's Vegas, you know? Like,
yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah, I could have been a contender. Yeah, I had a good time. Right. But, you know, although I used to love it, Paul, when guys would say, yeah, we saw some great-looking girls. We saw some, like, it's like I said, were you on an African safari or something? Could you walk up and talk to them? Oh, no, man. They were out of our league, bro. But they were really hot, really hot. I go, okay, so you're like at an African safari. You see these wildebeests out there, you know, these pretty gazelles, but you're afraid to talk to them. You never even talk to them, but you're reporting to me back that, oh, they were so hot, but you never even said hi. That's pretty pathetic. And a lot of guys are like that. A lot of guys are going, well, man, we just sat around. You don't get it, bro. We had some beers, and I go, were there any girls at the sports bar? Yeah, yeah, we saw some cute ones there, too. But what happened? I go, oh, well, what do you mean? I said, did you talk to the pretty girls? Talk to them. It's called communication. And they go, oh, no, no, bro, we didn't do that. But we thought about it. I thought, you know, pennies from heaven. Thoughts for a penny. Wonderful. You thought about it. Congratulations, guys. Wow. You're never going to get in her panties thinking like that. Seriously.
I can attest to Von Weehun always finds the penny from heaven. I can attest to that.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, man, you do.
So true.
No, the one thing, if there are a lot of young bachelors listening here. This is a line I've used since I was in college. I was vice president of my fraternity. I ran everything at that fraternity. So all the parties, you know, I used to train all the younger brothers in the house. When we're running a party, you know, my whole big line that I learned from one of my early mentors when I was in college was that you can always tell the winners at the starting gate.
Yes.
And was not in college. This was an out-of-college guy that I met at the racetracks, and that was the line he used, not for the colts that were running at the racetracks, at the mm-hmm. horse tracks, fillies. When the fillies were running, he said, look, with the fillies, you can always tell the winners at the starting gate. Because if a filly's kind of moving around, jumping around, when she gets out of that gate, she could probably just go wire to wire. That's just a lesson in that I learned when I was young. So I turned around, and I started doing that when I was 18, 19 years old as a freshman, sophomore. I was vice president of my fraternity. I got all the guys together. I go, look, you can always tell the winners at the starting gate right at the front door. And if you see a filly, a girl, at the front door that everybody needs to fucking look at, you just tell out starting gate. No one else will know what we mean when we're talking to each other. When we hear one of the guys at the front collecting the money going starting gate, those are the only girls that get in. Only girls that don't pay to get in. Everybody paid to get into our parties, guys and girls.
Right.
But if you call out starting gate, I know you're not collecting for her because I'm in charge of the money. And everybody needs to see who this girl is. Those are the girls that I want everybody in this fraternity to make a play for. And you don't interrupt the fraternity brother. You don't interrupt a fraternity brother making a play, number one. Number two, we need to make sure that we get all those starting gate girls to stay the night if we're with them, and we want those girls hanging out with us. So
that
was one of the lessons. And when you walk into a bar, nightclub, you know, restaurant bar, cigar bar, whatever, you can always tell the winners at the starting gate.
You can.
So you pay attention to all the women coming in. That's what I did. That's how I met that young girl, that young blonde. Always look at the front and look at their body language. Look who they're with. Look at their body language with the people they're with. You can always tell the winners at the starting gate, number one. And number two, and I've been using this line since college, nobody ever picked up on it. I didn't teach it to the fraternity brothers. Instead of saying, oh, my God, with a woman you want to talk with, you always say, oh, my goddess. And they're going to be like, looking at you like, what? Yeah, I said it. You know, yeah, I said it. Oh, my God. Because you are. You're way too beautiful. So use that with a woman. Oh, my. Don't say, oh, my God. Don't say, oh, my God, ever again when you're talking to a woman. You always say, oh, my goddess. And let that sink into her brain a little bit. And she, if she asks, like, what did you say? Yeah, I said it. I said, oh, my God. You know, well, why did you say that? Well, look at you. You know, it's an easy opening line to use and look startled a little bit when you say it. If you turn around and you see her, because that's what I did. I saw her in the mirror already. I saw her walking in the front door. But she didn't know you already saw her. And you act like you're just seeing her for the first time. I turned around and I looked surprised. Like I was taken aback, you know, my whole body just for like half a second, like, whoa, oh my goddess. Like,
love
what?
That. Yeah.
Yeah. I said, you know, you're way too beautiful for words. Wow. And that's a great way for young bachelors to start learning language about how to connect with a woman that nobody else has the balls to do, number one.
That's right. That's right.
I'm quite honestly, and, you know, I've known you a long time. And, you know, I've never mentioned it. I just, you know, I did it on New Year's Eve to her, and I was like, you know, I'm older enough now, and I'm not, you know, this is more of a national show. It's not like I'm teaching all these local guys this trick that I'm around. So, yeah, I mean, that's it's a great word that women, they never hear it from anybody else. They probably only heard that out of my voice, out of my mouth to them in their whole lives. And I've been doing it for years, and you've seen some of the women I've pulled in to the big, you know, Playboy Mansion Christmas party.
Absolutely, man.
I'm better than those that I've had in my life. Just stunning, some stunning, really stunning women that I've had in my life, even my ex-wife. And I've always used those lines on them, always. Whether you meet them online. Yeah, meet them online. You're talking to them on the phone, but you meet them for the first time face-to-face. You're like, wow, oh, my goddess. You're even more beautiful in person than your photos.
Like, love it.
then you can get that out. So those are my tidbits. The local Las Vegas scene and how to stun a woman.
I dig it.
You know, really stun her. So she's like, now she's paying attention to you because you're not like every other flipping guy.
That's right. That's right. Love it. Paul, great call, man. Good tidbits of wisdom there. We want to get more reports in future shows from the Las Vegas Strip. Any things you want to notice about the tourists, their pitfalls that they run into, or the locals? You want to hear it all, man. All of it. It's a variety show, you know? It'll be awesome. Thank you, sir. Have a great night, Gladiator. Awesome, man.
You too, bro. Awesome.
You bet. Thank you, bro. Great, great call. Look, I always say every guy, well, I'll back up. There's an old saying, every man is left to his own devices, good or bad. So if something works for you, like Paul had a great tidbit there, calling her a goddess, use it. Now, you got to say these things, as Paul does, when it rolls off the tongue, okay? Don't stutter in front of a pretty girl. It's got to seem natural to you. And if you guys are doing things that are unnatural to your character, there's an old saying, too, he's acting out of character. And that rubs people the wrong way. Women pick up on that, and they'll think, well, he was kind of cute, but it was kind of awkward, or an awkward line, right? You don't want to have awkward lines. You don't want to be in that category. So only use things if you think it's going to work with your persona. You know, can you pull it off, in other words, like the Gladiator can? Like Von Weehunt can? Can you pull these things off? Every guy has a story. I love hearing guys' stories. I love hearing the stories from the women, too. Guys will tell you in college that I absolutely had zero fear or intimidation. I don't care how beautiful the woman is. Now, most guys are not like that. Most guys will go, oh, wow, check her out, man. They'll elbow you. Ooh, look what came through the starting gate. Isn't she hot? I'll go, yeah, she's really hot. You know what? I'm going to talk to her. I'll probably strike out. But to me, it was practice. And what was funny was, sometimes it works. She likes your personality. And I clicked with some beautiful women. Didn't think I would. Did not have one iota. I did not think I was going to. I pulled in some honeys back in the day. And I am not Brad Pitt. I am above average looks, but handsome to some women. Some women, I'm run of the mill. It just depends. Like, it's always beauty's in the eye of the beholder. But I can tell you this with most chicks, they never complained about me in the bedroom. They never complained about me. I never was seeking to be the best looking guy in my frat or at a party. I was just trying to be the best version of myself that I could possibly put out there. Because to me, it's like advertising. You put out the best billboard, right? And you advertise and you pitch them. And to me, I used to be, you know, half buzzed anyway, walk up to a pretty girl. It was just fun just to talk to them for 4 or 5 minutes. They might blow me off, but I don't care. Because guys, you got to have the concept of next. Next. And laugh about it. Be the happy warrior. I'd say next girl, next girl. Keep bringing them. Keep bringing them in front of me until one says yes. And that's how I used to do it. That's the sales personality. I had no ego. And one of the best things a guy taught me was an older fraternity brother. He said, have no ego when it comes to women. In other words, don't put all your eggs in one basket and go, oh, my God, if she says no, she's going to crush my spirit. She's going to crush me, and I'll never be able to rise again. A lot of guys, you beta males out there, you cucks, you think like that. It's called AFC. You're an average frustrated chump. AFC. Don't forget that. And ABC, always be closing. like the movie Glengarry Glen Ross. So I was always closing, always talking to the pretty girls. And what's funny is, this is a true story, when the party just begins, right, at college, or say you're out of college, you're in a singles club, I would always aim for the top and start there and work myself down. So as the night goes down, you've talked to some beautiful women, and once in a while you get lucky. Once in a while, be surprised. Not every pretty girl, sometimes I'll tell you a little secret. Some pretty girls do not want to compete with a man for looks. I'll explain. If a man's always primping and taking care of himself, always looking in the mirror, some women don't want that. She wants to be the only one looking in the mirror. She wants you to be the rugged, handsome individual guy next to her. You don't have to be an Adonis body. Just that's what some women want, believe it or not. You ever seen the really, really pretty girl with the bald-headed guy, maybe 30 pounds overweight, he owns a Texas ranch or an Arizona ranch, he's got a big old pickup truck, and you go, how did this guy, maybe even shorter than her, land this beauty? And they'll interview the girl, and she'll say, well, he wasn't like the rest. I picked him because he was unique. He wasn't giving me lines. He wasn't, you know, the Brad Pitt or the Gordon or the Bradley Cooper, you know, kind of Hollywood guys, or Richard Gere. He was just a guy that had a ranch, and I wanted a ranch life, and here I am. And she's fucking his brains out. And the guy couldn't be happier. And he's like, the guy will always say, I don't know how I got her, but I got her, and we're together, and we're in love. You know, good for you guys. I always say, people find each other. In other words, it's like, well, physics and water, but people find each other in the cosmos, in the galaxy. Seek and you shall find. It's even biblical. If you're looking for something, you're going to find it. Never assume that every woman, some women, I've met them before, they're turned on by you young guys wearing beards. They have a thing with daddy. They have daddy issues. They like beards, I'm telling you. A good-looking guy says, what about that guy? Oh, no, I would never date him. And he was, you know, from a man's point of view, a good-looking guy. I saw a talking stick casino. I thought, you wouldn't date that? No. I'm only interested in guys that have beards. Now, I've met women that are extremely particular. And you might not know, as a guy, what she's into, what she's not. I also knew a girl one time, so I only date guys that wear leather jackets. And I knew a girl once and said, I'll only date guys that have their hair a certain way or whatever. Or she'll only date blonde-haired guys or brown-haired guys. I'm just telling you, it runs the gamut. Women, some women are very particular. And but in college, I was known as fearless. I was fearless out of college. I'd walk up to any girl, and my friends would go, wow, how'd you do that? I just walk up. The lion has no fear. Now, I might strike out, but I had fun talking to her. And if I could, as a good friend, I'd pitch her to one of my friends. Now, sometimes I'd hit on the pretty girl, because I wasn't always interested always in the pretty girl. I liked her friend, who was the 7 or the 8. 7s and 8s were always my target market, not the 9s and 10s. I would approach the 9s and 10s to get to the 7 and the 8. I'll tell you my methodology. Because the 9s and 10s I know are going to be a pain in the ass eventually. They're going to suck me dry at the bar. They drink a lot and they expect a lot money-wise. And I wanted, how should we say this politely? In polite conversation, I wanted dollar cost averaging for the average bang. In other words, if I'm going to, I didn't want to spend $200 in drinks and food and appetizers and running around town. I wanted the 7 or the 8 that would, I could probably put $30 to $50 in her and she's good to go. And that to me was what I call dollar cost averaging. Kind of like stocks, you know, when you meet a girl. So I was always after her friend normally, unless the 9 and 10 was really into me. And normally in some weren't, but then I would blow past her and get to her friend. her friend was my, I was sort of my little distraction. So the hot girl would be like, oh, he's hitting on me like all the guys do, batting her eyelashes. I'm giving her a big head, pumping her up, right? And then I'm moving to her friend who's sitting there who would love to be with me. Now I'm moving on her. And then I bring in a friend of mine who wants to dine and says, hey, why don't you meet with this girl? You can have her. And I normally found out that the 9 and 10, they have so much male competition that wants them. And to me, I wanted a girl that I could have all semester, you know, in college. So the 7 and 8 would date me all semester, maybe a year or two. And I had 4 or 5 of those going, right? And so I got a lot more action doing it that way. Again, that was my methodology. Every guy has a different story. But it worked for me, and it worked like a freaking charm because I had women in every dorm. I just call them up. Hey, I'm coming up. Okay, come on up. And it was great. I mean, I loved college. But every guy has his own little female scam. That was mine. Approach the 9 and 10. I would, if we clicked, great. And I would, if we didn't, no problem, no ego again. I'd move right and go next to her friend in her. She normally always had a bevy of really cute beauties around what I call the queen bee. The queen bee always wasn't my target, but I made her think she was my target. You see, the women, this is all women think in psychology. If you go after the prettiest girl, and I know this, the other girls think you're worthy of her, even if she discounts you, doesn't matter, because you're making the attempt and you're talking to the prettiest girl. The other girl she's with go, wow, he's really ballsy. He can really, he's talking to her. All these other guys are scared. Wow, maybe we should think about dating this guy. He's got a lot of balls. He's got a lot of chutzpah, they call it, or a lot of, you know, a lot of moxie. And I had street moxie, and that worked for me. Then I would just move on. But again, yeah, I love all the stories. Every guy has his own way of doing it. You know, I like the gladiator. He's on the local scene. If you move to a town, get to the local scene as soon as possible. It's where the women are, the good bars, the good times. Now, a lot of you guys I know have emailed me during the week, and you go, we want to hear politics 24/7. Hey, that's what Thursday night is for. This show is my fun show of the month to kick it back a few notches. We're going to talk about what you really care about, which is your relationships, male, female, those dynamics, the yin and the yang, man, the bachelor's den. And whatever happens in the bachelor's den stays in the bachelor's den, as you know. Well, get a cocktail. Enjoy yourselves. We'll play some promos, and we will, we'll be back. I guarantee it with some more stuff. We'll get, the surfer who is in the green room ready to come on, among others. And who knows? He might even go into overtime. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. For the track, bring it back. For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. Work the meals on the road. For the streets, bring it back. For the hood, bring it back. For the beat, bring it back. For the track, bring it back. Hey, they ain't know I even rap like this. They ain't know that I could snap like this. Adidas ones in the club, got them thinking now. Get the fuck about my way when I'm swinging now. You don't play no position in this rap game. You just get the towel, where's my water main? I rep the sip a lot, and that 33. I got that focus flow, call it hot tea, or that hot, it's the same.
Don't you just love Austin Powers? I know I do.
One. woman's got another man. Yes, he's the one. Oh, yes, he's the one. He's the one, he's the one. The one they call the seventh son. And he can talk these words that'll sound so sweet, even make your little heart skip a beat. He can heal the sick or instead make the little girl talk out of their head. He's the one. Yes, he's the one. He's the one, he's the one. The one they call the seventh son.
Are you the one? Of course you are. Every man is successful in his own right. That's the way it's supposed to be. Well, let me tell you about New Year's Eve really quickly here. I go out every New Year's Eve. A lot of people were asking me to go on Telegram. I go, guys, it's New Year's Eve. I am a political junkie, I will admit. I'm a news junkie, too. I'm always scrolling through the news feeds and the markets, always. I love doing that stuff. But sometimes you just got to take a break from all that mayhem in the world. That's why I designed this show. I'm surprised more guys don't chime in on this show. I designed it for you. Call in, 563-999-3437. This show is for men in America, for the bachelor out there on the make. I designed it for you. God, the women have everything in this country. It's a matriarchal society now. I'm trying to bring back the patriarchy one show at a time. Can't talk about China 24/7 and all that depressing stuff of World War III. That's for Thursday nights. And that's when I'm really in the mood. Because by then, the news has happened and for the week pretty much, you know. And, man, I'm fired up for the Thursday show, as you know. Everything else is. But this is our one little guilty pleasure a month. God, I mean, we can't even have this? Come on. We got to have a good show once in a while and a fun show. And you got to be a happy warrior, man. With the ladies, look, a lot of you guys have been simps, be honest. You've been at home emailing thousands of women who you have these online relationships with, and it's pretty boring. And I always ask you, he'll go, yeah, man, here's a picture of my girl. Guy shows me his phone right at work. I go, wow, she's great. I go, have you ever met her? Oh, no, we haven't met yet. But we're going to, you know. And I'm going, let me get this straight. You say she's your girlfriend, but you never even had a conjugal visit, and you've never met her. Well, yeah, but we're going to. Hope springs eternal, son. I go, I hope you do. But, man, some of you guys, you floor me. You're just hilarious. Having a cocktail here while I'm talking to you. The bar at my place is always open. I got probably $2,000 worth of bottles in here. And I'm going to have more, damn it. But, I mean, it's amazing to me. Okay, so you have an online girlfriend. BFD, big fucking deal. Have you banged her? No. Have you dated her? No. Have you met her? No. No, no, no. Three strikes, you're out. Get out of here. Come on. You can do better than that. You guys are lazy. A lot of you guys are like, oh, man. you know, I just, you guys, you like, I told you before, you started some new habits under COVID. COVID's over. We know they're going to come out with the new virus, but you got to change those bad habits of staying home every weekend and then going online. And you never even meet the local girls. You just chat with them in these weird chat rooms. Chat. You become a male version of the Chatty Cathy. And that's a bad picture. It's not a good presentation of yourself that you want to project out there, that you never meet women, but you're just really an online character. You're a Chatty Cathy. That's what women do. Men need to get out there once in a while and press the flesh. We need to get, and I'm the same way. New Year's Eve, I went to a big party, big ballroom. Had a couple of people say, hey, we're on this. I go, no, man, it's New Year's Eve. I'm going out having a good time. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday nights for that stuff or during the week when I can, you know, text or whatever. But went out. There's a blonde that I've been talking to, right, an Aryan blonde, good-looking girl. Not a 10. I don't even want her to be a 10. And there's a couple others there that I had met. And I met two that I've been talking to, kind of working on, right? And these girls, one of them said to me, I want to get a chocolate martini. And I go, great. Go ahead and buy yourself one. There's the bar. I have a rule. I just tell her, I said, you know, if I'm not dating you, I don't buy you a drink. And it's New Year's Eve. The champagne's free. I'd be more than happy to bring over two glasses of the champagne for you. And I'll tip the bartender. I have no problem. Oh, no. I don't want the free. I want a man to pay. I go, well, that's not me, baby. I walk away and go, let some other schmuck have her. I don't care what she looks like at that point. I'm going, she's, too much problem, too much maintenance, too much trouble. I'm not looking for more female trouble. I'm looking for easier girls that are more fun. Fun to hang out with, low maintenance, low cost. Why do people in Arizona have a low maintenance lawn? It's less expensive. It's easier, less trouble. I say the same thing with women. You want a low maintenance woman. Sure, you got to buy her a few trinkets and baubles once in a while, as you should. As a man, you got to make her happy. You buy her a little dress once in a while, a little cocktail dress or something. But boy, some of these ladies. They think every guy is a millionaire and every guy can blow money, and that's no. We're not a walking ATM machine. Hate to burst your bubble on that. You got to watch your money, guys. Most of you guys are making between 20, 25, 30 bucks an hour. You got to watch that. It goes fast. Think about 1 hour of work. Really, you work about 1.3 hours after taxes to afford her one drink. 1 hour of your labor goes down her belly. And what do you get out of it? That's a rhetorical question. In other words, ask yourself, what do I get out of this situation? Well, if you don't get anything out of it, I say stop the madness. Stop it. Just stop it. No one's going to think. In fact, she'll respect you more. And if she doesn't, fuck her. Move on. Next, you don't need some of these women. They're a pain in the ass. Your dad told you that. I know my dad told me that. He says, son, I love women, but they can be a pain in the ass. And if it wasn't for meeting your mother, you wouldn't be here. I said, I know. Thank God for mom, right? Thank God for you both. But he said, I love your mother. But he goes, if it wasn't for her, he said, I probably wouldn't have gotten married. But I met your mother, and the rest is history. Well, that's the way life works, you know? And the chat room is good. Well, bringing it on, boy, happy new year, Mr. Vaughn. Well, thank you, sir. Happy new year to you, too. 2024, baby, here we come. Well, I say it's time to hear from Brett the Surfer, and let's bring him on. Brett. You're the you were once a bachelor on the make here in Phoenix. How are you doing, sir? You're now married with kids.
Happy New Year!
Happy
Vaughn.
New Year,
Christmas,
man!
But, man, it's rough out there. I'm sure for a lot of guys, but man, a lot of guys, it's not, man, and it's just, you know, it is what it is. But you know, you got to meet the right person, like your dad said, you know, or maybe, you know, you want to be married, you know. If you don't, you know, don't marry the wrong person, you know. I mean, that's not, you know, but you never know, man. You might have to go through two of them before you can.
My dad saw this sexy brunette, this Italiano girl walk in the poker room where he was playing with the boys on the Air Force Base, said, "That one's mine." And he knew right away, that's the one I want. And so, you know what? It's the way it works. He had never met her before. He said, "This one's mine." And he got her.
He went for it.
I think
a lot of guys.
That's why little Von Weehunt got born. You know, hey, it's like if you're a man, be a fucking man. Stand up to the plate. If you like a girl, who cares if she says no? I don't care. I was fearless. I still am. I don't care. Her looks will never intimidate me. You know why?
Yeah.
I get beyond the looks. I get into her mind. I outthink her. I outmaneuver her. I won't let her intimidate me with any looks. Looks are, as you know, only skin deep, right? And they freak out when you're not intimidated. They go, "Oh, this guy's really talking. Oh, my God. Now, what do I do now? I'm so pretty." No, you're not that pretty, honey. To me, you're a dime a dozen. Have that attitude. You're a dime a dozen. Oh, you think you're a 10? Maybe you're a 9.2. I don't know if you're a 10. You know, you just got to have that kind of an attitude. Like, she's just run of the mill. And when you act like that, you're fine with them. You're going to get along a lot better. When you put them on a pedestal, remember, women will kick you in the teeth every time. How say you, sir, Mr. Surfer?
Well, I think you've got it. You're gonna have to work together and meet someone who wants to be a team player, and you're gonna meet someone to become your best friend if you do decide to do that. Which, like your dad, you know, he decided to get married. You know, and as you know me, I mean, I was a bachelor for a long time, but married almost 17 years. So, man, But, man, I had got married at an older age, and I think that's what you should do if you are. You know, make sure that you're ready and you're financially together, you have a career, or some, you know, just that you know, you own real estate or you've got investments. And, you know, the way it is, just be prepared, man. Are you prepared at a young age, you know, for your life ahead, you know, which I don't think a lot of people do nowadays. And I know the world we live in is just chaotic. Like, we may head into World War III if we're not already in it at this point. But
we
laugh, you know,
in the face of danger, Mr. Surfer.
By the way, I'm going to mention the waves over in Southern California. That's
I've been watching those.
Yeah, surfing in La Jolla.
I was thinking about those crazy waves, man. Those rogue waves. You know what? I love Pacific storms. I wish I was there to watch that. Them crashing into the rocks, and I'm watching the videos, going, man, that's what I wish. I had a California house, way up on a hill. I don't want to be not at sea level. I want to be on top of the hill. And far enough back where in case the hill has a mudslide, but man, what a view you would have. I'd have breakfast out there every morning. But watching those specific storms is amazing to me, man. I love that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's what I live for, you know. It's what we live for. And, you know, and I'm as this new year starts, you know, as you know, Rocky Point's my second home, Sierra Cortez.
Yep.
And that border, the four-hour drive down there from Phoenix at Lukeville border has been closed, but it's going to open up temporarily Thursday. So that's great news for us, you know, the people that go down there. But they live in the Southwest in Arizona. That's Arizona's beach, you know. But anyway.
True.
You know, with that storm in Southern California, and I just think the new year is starting off. I hope that we can have a great 2024. as we all are, you know, we're all hopeful and full of, you know, of optimism, right?
Well, happy new year to you and yours, man. Happy new year to you guys.
Yeah.
And let's have a great 2024. What are your words of wisdom, since you're a traveling man, to the American Bachelor today? What would you tell them?
I say never give up.
A word of wisdom from the surfer himself.
Yeah. Go for what you want. Whatever you want, you can get, you can have. But, you know, you got to earn it. You know, if you're not going to just be going to go out, oh, it's going to meet a girl today and fall in love and have a family, it's going to be great. You know, no, you have to work at it. So if that's what you want, work at it. And if that's your goal, you know, or if you just want to live a life where you don't want that, you know, that's fine too, man. Just live, be who you are. And be an optimism and have hope and faith, man. I think whatever you're going to do, you know, but do it with pride and optimism, man. That's my surfer advice to the bats.
Right. I love it. I love it, man. Well, Mr. Brett, we will talk to you on Thursday on our political show.
All right. Bob.
This is the fun show.
Right.
And, the world's going to blow up, but we don't care. We're going to keep on drinking and partying, man, having a good time, okay?
All right, man. Stay safe.
Thanks, Brett. Brett the Surfer left the building, folks. Great, great call. Yeah, he talked about those Pacific waves, right? God, those things are incredible. Love that. Well, for you guys that are out there in the Bachelor world, in the Bachelor's Den, I thought you would get a kick out of this 1960s movie trailer, Guide for the Married Man. Check this out.
Hold everything, folks. We're going to give you some pointers. The real lowdown on some basic facts of married life. A Guide for the Married Man.
Boy, oh boy.
Now you see, Walter Matthau is married to Inger Stevens, but he develops a roving eye. The guy's got to be off his rocker to rove in a dish like this. So he goes to Robert Morse, Ph.D., doctor of philandering, for some lessons.
Do all married guys do it, Ed?
Not all of them give in to it, only about 43%, which I think is about to go up to 44.
And would you believe, all of these technical advisors give the do's and don'ts for the married man with an urge to stray. Lucille Ball, Jack Benny, Polly Bergen, Joey Bishop, Sid Caesar, Art Carney, Wally Cox, Jay Mansfield, Al March, Louis Nye, Carl Reiner, Bill Silvers, Terry Thomas, and Ben Blue. Girls, don't let your favorite fellow see this film alone.
He'd never get away with it, would he?
What was Sid Caesar's plan of action? How does Joey Bishop talk his way out of this? What did Art Carney just put over on Lucille Ball? How does a movie star steal a night out? How does Jack Benny operate?
Say, honey, what do you think we could get for this from a secondhand shop?
You can't top Phil Silver's instant alibi.
So you were wedding, what?
What kind of a girl do you think I am? Of course I was.
Love that. That's a great movie I have in my movie library. The Guide for the Married Man starring Walter Matthau. If you haven't seen that movie, I highly encourage it. A lot of the themes in that movie are in this show that we have here. Now, on this show, we jokingly told you that the American Bachelor, not only do you have to, you know, have male competition, you've got to fight over the girl that you want, maybe. But now you got to also fight against the American lesbians. who might be the girlfriend of the hot chick that you want to date and get with, right? You ever talk to a good-looking girl in a bar? I know I have many times. And this woman will come out of the woodwork. And the girl you're talking to is getting into you and liking you. And this ugly hag comes out, and she'll put her arm around her and go, "She's my girlfriend." And the other girl would kind of go, "Oh, yeah, that's right." And I go, "Well, good for you." And I go, "I don't care." And that throws them off. I go, "I don't care." I go, "We were just talking about this and that. We weren't nothing else." I go, "I talked to lots of people." And then that hag lesbo gets all pissed off, storms off, like a hilled beast, you know. But you got to compete against these lesbians that are out there. And by the way, we'll get into this on Thursday, but we have this border thing, as you well know. And what are we bringing into America? Nothing but tens of thousands of military-age men. Why can't we bring in tens of thousands of young women to America? We need women to compete for men again. We don't need millions and millions more men. We need millions and millions of more women. Now, if there was, let's say, millions of young hot chicks between ages of 18 and 35 coming in, I can guarantee you that it's going to be somewhat facetious, but I guess I bet you half the men would be for open borders. To be pretty honest and blunt about it, if they saw tons of women in their neighborhood that were looking to hook up, that would change politics overnight. But we know that's not the case. In a joking way, we know that the converse is true. But it does make you stop and think about those things. In this show, we talked about a lot of things on every show. Now, again, a lot of you folks are new. This is our fun show of the month. The first Tuesday of every month is the Bachelor's Guide to the Galaxy. Now, if you want it on every week, like some of you guys do, I want to hear thunderous applause. I want to hear you email me, send me telegrams, reach me on Gab, and say you heard the show and you want to hear more about these themes in your life. And we'll touch on a lot of things about the economy and the feminization of America, things that are also a little bit political, but this is more of a show of the social engineering of America, how they ruined it for so many people and so many men. I always tell guys this. That's why the men are passport bros and expat travel is so popular. If you were in a foreign country, women would be lined up just to meet you. Not in America. In America, with a K, the women are stupidly not into you. They're into stupid liberal causes. They're into lesbianism, not into men. They don't even want to date you anymore. They don't want to. Some of you men want to get married. They don't want to get married. We had talked about this earlier in the show with the surveys that I told you. And foreign countries also, your age means much less than it does in America. In America, women are very particular with your birth date and age. They don't want to date a guy more than 2 or 3 years older than them. They don't want, you know, in a foreign country, women don't care. In fact, it's more prevalent where, say, a 60, 50-year-old man will easily have a 20, 30-year-old girlfriend or wife. For that matter, even the ugly chicks here in America think they deserve a Brad Pitt type of guy with washboard flat abs and a $100 million bank account, as I said before. They have these outrageous ideas of what they can get. And in this country, America is so effed up that that's why it's a toxic dating environment. State of marriage in America right now, just so you know, is dismal. And the women filing false claims against men is also on the rise and ticking upwards. In fact, did you know that over 70% of divorces are filed by women in America. And 90%, if they are college educated today. That's right. That's right. It's great to have an educated woman, but I'll be blunt with you. A lot of the women out there aren't going to like this, but I'll tell you the truth because I don't care. I'll never meet you. And you need to hear this, that we've over-educated our women in America. Over-educated. Yes, we want you to read, write, and do all that, but we don't. Not every man wants to marry a brain surgeon or a woman that says she has all these degrees. Haven't you met that chick before? She goes, hey, I've got an MBA, and I've got all these degrees. Don't you find me sexy? And you're like, what? What the fuck? Hell no, I don't find you sexy. But I've met women before that try to impress upon me how many degrees they have, and I drop them like a hot potato. I go, not my type. Just why am I so educated? I go, education's great, but you've overdone it, but you're the extreme example, and I just don't want the extreme example. I don't want to hear about how you were a valedictorian walking down the aisle. They don't want to hear about you going with your professor on these weird trips to these faraway countries. Don't care. I always said guys would be more than happy to be with a blue-collar chick with a high school education, maybe a year of community college. That's all a man needs. Men will talk politics and business with other men, made men in the family, in the neighborhood. We don't talk about those kind of things with our women, only in on the cursory level, very light-headed level, maybe over a cup of coffee. You'll say to her, honey, you know, I read that thing in the news about China. It's pretty bad over there. Hey, what are you doing this Friday night? Let's go out. That's how I would do it with a woman. I wouldn't get into any kind of, unless very, very few know what's going on anyway. So you're wasting your time educating them. You're wasting your time trying to get her into a big intellectual conversation. Most women don't understand geopolitics. They don't get it, and they're not wired to get it. They're just not. They're just not. They don't understand the big picture, and just don't waste your time there. Women and men will always meet, but for young men, it's now financially dangerous to marry in most states in America, and so our case law can be rectified and clarified in this regard. Most men don't realize that when you enter into marriage, you're entering into a marriage contract with the woman, and you're marrying the state. And with that contract, that covenant, if you will, with the state, there are certain things that you need to do. One thing I've noticed in this past month by thinking about this show is all the people that made the marriage vows. Women don't take the vows seriously at all. They just say what they got to say to get the ring and the big check, move into your big house, and they're done. They're done, baby. They moved in, goal accomplished. Check that box. Now you got to take care of her. Now you got to feed her three meals a day. You got to listen to her whine and bitch and complain. And maybe you love her, and that's great. But then reality sinks in. You lose your job. Now she's calling you a loser. Where's all the money you promised me? You loser? Well, a lot of you guys got to deal with that. And I'm telling you, when there's an old saying we brought up in the first show. I repeat it on every show. A lot of you guys don't get the concept. In Mexico, the Hispanic men will say, Senor Vine, no money, no honey, senor. No money, no honey. That's right. The Mexicans have simplified the things that Americans can talk about in volumes. In other words, no money, no honey. It's funny how the love runs out the door the minute the money dries up. Had a friend of mine who was married, sold a house in Tennessee, had $500,000 in equity. Went to San Diego, lived real high off the hog for Oh, he must have bought me 100 dinners in Palm Springs and San Diego. But he and his wife are both dead now, unfortunately. But he was one of my mentors in the insurance business on the consultant side. But I noticed one thing, that when the money ran out and they blew it all in San Diego, baby, they blew it out there. Dinners and cocktails, glasses of wine, surf and turf by candlelight, watching the beautiful Pacific Ocean, like a damn TV commercial. And when the money ran out, it was getting low, they had to skip out of town. In almost 4 years, they went through $500,000 in cash, had nothing to show for it. Then he was selling assets. They were looking to move back to Arizona. They finally got a place to rent, and that's when she wanted to leave him. She told him, "I'm going to divorce your ass." Why? No more money. No more fun. In other words, now the hard reality of the marriage vows, I'll take you forever through good times and bad. Women don't believe in that. Men do, but women don't. They don't believe in taking care of you through good times and bad at all. And she said, "I'm going to file for divorce and I'm going to move to Dallas with my daughters." Question. "I'm going to hang out with the remaining balance of your money," she told him, "with my daughters in Dallas, and we're going to live high off the hog on your dime, your last dime." And she was a bitch towards the end. And her name was Annie, and I met her many times. She was very vivacious, very nice, as long as the server was pouring her a glass of wine and the Chardonnay. And she had surf and turf in front of her. Boy, she was living large, and she loved going out. And when the money dries up, you'll see the other side of your girl's personality. Will she change like Frankenstein during that latter part of your relationship? Well, I told my good friend, I said he was crushed. They've been married for about 20 years. But I said, "Don't forget, that 20 years, you had a couple of businesses you sold. You sold your parents' big home and on acreage there in Tennessee. Got a big check for that." But I never thought of it like that. What? I go, "Well, I'll tell you, in my observation, I'm the ultimate observer. You loved her more than she loved you. Bottom line, you loved her more than she loved you." And that happens to a lot of guys. The older ones especially, who've never been through the toxic dating environment, who grew up in the picturesque world. He was a baby boomer. I'm Generation X. So the boomers have got it really rough, because when they get crushed, they're like broken men. And we had a few steaks, and I bought them a few meals. But thank God the church let them rent a little apartment on their property, and he knew some friends that could furnish it. He had sold some other things, but this happens to a lot of men. Never forget this, that as long as there's men and women like this too all over the board, but when times are good, everyone's smiling, having a good time, money's rolling in. But the minute the money spigot is turned off, that's when you know who your real friends are. That's when you know if your girl was true to you. And she failed what I call the true blue test. She was just a fair weather wife, fair weather friend. As long as you were doing things for her and buying her drinks and cocktails, everything was great. The minute reality sunk in and she had to move to Arizona and move to a real small house, and then Bill had some health problems and take care of him, she did not want to take care of him. She did not. She dishonored her marriage vows. And this is just a cautionary tale. You can't always control it, but it's just what I call a cautionary tale, that he learned at the end, which is that she never really loved him. She was acting like she loved him. Women are good actresses, guys. Make sure that whoever you hook up with, she's True Blue tester often is my best advice. Tester, tester, tester. Like you test a new car. Test drive that baby. But I always said something bad's going to happen to her. And what happened to her, because she really dissed him, was really nasty to him towards it. I could write a book on that, and I might someday, or a movie script. But she got cancer and died within about 2 years of her acting nasty to him. And then good old Uncle Bill died of a broken heart. Now, that's not to make you sad, but it's just to let you know that these things are real out there and they can happen. It's a cautionary tale, like I always like to say. No money, no honey. Unfortunately, many Western women are like this, and our culture encourages it more and more. They do not discourage it. Well, wow, what a show for you. We had the Gladiator on. We had Brett the Surfer. We're going to have our Thursday show at 8 o'clock, same bat time. You've got the Space Age Bachelor Pad. We talked about a lot of themes on this show. And on each show, I try to make it a little bit different and unique. We've got our tiki bar in the studio here. I always mix a drink before each night's festivities. And I raise my goblet of wine and my stein of beer to all of you tonight. I am, as always on this show, wearing my red velvet smoking jacket with cigar in hand, mafioso style. And we are ready to rock and roll as always. It was fun to reminisce and talk about our college days and things of that nature. It was time to, really fun to hear about everyone's stories. We had a lively chat room, and this show will continue. And again, if you want to hear more of it, you got to let the host know. I got to hear from the people. You got to let me know. And this show will be in a series that will span hopefully 1,000 years as the Bachelor Kingdom is reborn in America and around the world. So the Bachelor never says no to marriage. He looks at it more with some suspicion in this day and age, and he's careful about his approach and what he needs to do in his own life. The next Bachelor show will be the first Tuesday, February. We hope that you're all there, and we thank you for being here tonight. God bless you all, and Happy New Year from Valhalla Studios here in the mountains of Arizona. Have a great night. We'll talk to you soon on Thursday, and Valhalla Studios loves you all. Have a good night.
Yeah. Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.